Well, it's my honor to you this morning to introduce Ms. Joanne Fowler, our guest speaker this morning. A little bit about Ms. Joanne. She's been the director of the Palmetto Women's Center for 4 years, and she has been instrumental in helping in the transition of that women's center from a resource center to a full medical clinic. And from what I understand, they have 2 ultrasound machines, 1 portable on a bus and 1 at the location, which is a huge blessing to their ministry. And so please welcome with me this morning, Ms. Joanne. Please come and speak to us.
Thank you so much, Pastor Matt. Well, good morning. How are you guys today? Thank you so much for having me here. I want to start out with some scripture. Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I didn't tell Pastor Matt to announce this because I was afraid y'all wouldn't let me speak, but I'm also a pastor's wife, so I'm going to talk to you like a pastor's wife this morning too, okay? I'll try not to get my 2 roles mixed up, but sometimes that tends to happen just a little bit. We are so honored and happy to be able to come talk to you this morning. Believe it or not, there are a lot of churches that don't want to talk about this controversial subject, but I want you to know with Palmetto Women's Center, our tagline says, we provide hope, health, and healing. And so if you're sitting here this morning and maybe you're dealing with a past abortion in your life, maybe you haven't even shared it to anybody else, I want you to know that God loves you. And He is so good, and He forgives us no matter what we've done. And there is forgiveness and healing in that. If you're pregnant today and you're saying, oh my gosh, I haven't told anybody, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do, I want you to know there is hope in that as well. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we provide that hope to our community. And then there's health. Palmetto Women's Center is now a health clinic. So you can come to us and we can provide health services. And we are that advocate for the woman in our community, that woman who doesn't have the finances or the resources. And so we can help to provide that help until we can get them in to an OBGYN or get them into a medical clinic. So I'm going to share a little bit with you this morning about Palmetto Women's Center, the ministry we do. And what I hope today is that you learn a little bit more about who we are and that you'll become a voice for us. We believe the church, the body of believers, is the answer to abortion. We believe that abortion can be abolished. I want you guys to know that the left today will tell you, and if you're left, I apologize, but the left today will tell you that we are making no impact on abortion. But I want y'all to know that I marched last weekend. I went to Columbia, and I went on a march to our state capitol, and it was the most calm, the most inspirational, encouraging march that I've been on, and we just carried signs that said life is important. I mean, that's all. We didn't shout. We didn't scream. We didn't condemn. We just walked, and we walked to the state capitol to let them know that. And, you know, it was encouraging, and it was discouraging at the same time. It was encouraging because there was some of us there, but it was discouraging because there wasn't this big crowd that I'd hoped to see. And I just got back yesterday from Washington, and I went up there, and I marched to the capitol up in Washington. And you talk about motivated. Over 500,000 people across the United States showed up and marched in that march. And you know, when we're told, that's right, you can clap. When we're told that we're not making an impact and it's just a bunch of a small minority of Christians that are saying life is important, it's a lie. It is a lie. And you know, we can make a difference. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about how you can make a difference. I hope I challenge you. I hope I motivate you. And I hope I encourage you all in one. So I have a quick little presentation I'm going to share with you this morning. I want to give you some of the statistics because I think it's really important before I get into what we do. If you look on the slide this morning, you can see abortions are starting to come down a little bit in South Carolina. And that's really good. Praise the Lord. That's right. And it's coming down because of people like you guys this morning and because of pastors like Pastor Matt who let me come in and talk to you guys about it this morning. The 2017 statistics just came out while I was in Washington, and so I wasn't able to change the slide, but the number for South Carolina is 10,649. That's 10,649 too many. Amen? I mean, would you agree with me? We can change that number, y'all. We really can. Abortions, and these numbers come from the CDC. Some of y'all are saying, well, we're in 2019. Well, the CDC takes a whole year, government agency here, takes a whole year to collect all that information and get it out. So we're always a year behind. And unfortunately for us, when we come in and talk on Sanctity of Life, the numbers come out just real close to the date of Sanctity of Life. And I don't know if that's on purpose or not. But for York County, we had 491 abortions this year, just in York County. Y'all, that's a lot. That's a lot of abortions for the Bible Belt. Am I correct? I mean, that's a lot. And the sad part about that is 35% of those are Christian women. who are going in and having abortions. And I'm going to try not to cry when I'm up here. Sometimes I get emotional, y'all, so forgive me if I do. But I'm going to tell you, we as the church, and my husband's a pastor, so I'm in that group with y'all, okay? But we as the church have got to let people know that when they get pregnant, and whether it's out of wedlock, whether it's a mistake, regardless of what it is, that the church is the place you run to, not the place that you have to run from. And so we got to let people know we all make mistakes. I don't know about y'all. I wish I'm like Paul. I wish every day I didn't do what I shouldn't, and I wish I would do more of what I should, right? I think we're all in that boat, and we can't let the church be the place where people are so ashamed of their sin that they can't come to the church and say, I've sinned, forgive me, love me, help me. Look, there's consequences of our sin. There is, but there's also love and grace that as the church we can give them. So 35%, 491, that number is continuing to come down. And I'm going to tell you, I believe we made an impact last year. I believe when we stand up here in a year, if y'all are, if we're honored enough to be able to come back, I think y'all going to see that number goes down another year. Why? Because the churches are getting involved. Because Christians are getting involved and we're making a difference. We're teaching our young people, and I'm going to talk about that. Chester County is another county that I show because we just went into Chester County this year. 87 abortions. They went up by one. They went up by one. Y'all, Chester, and I don't know if anybody's here from Chester, that is a very poor area. It is just so poor. And a lot of times when people have abortions, and I can tell you 1,000 reasons why, because I meet with women when they come through our center. But one of the reasons is we can't afford to have a baby. And I'm going to tell you how we overcome that objection. With your help, how we are able to go to those women and say, you can afford to have a baby, and we're going to help you. And so I'm going to talk to you about that. But they went up by one. They're the only one that increased of the three areas I'm showing you today. Now this, I'm gonna pause on this slide. There's some numbers on there, and I'm gonna show them to you, but I want to talk about them specifically. 2,483 visits to our center. That's how many times our doors opened for people to come into our center, and that includes our mobile clinic. We launched our mobile clinic last year. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna tell you a quick story about this. This is how God was in it. But we knew that we were paying really high rent up here in Fort Mill. We didn't forsake you guys. We couldn't afford to be up here. And the number of patients that was coming through that clinic was minimal. And so we believed that the Lord was telling us that we needed to get a mobile clinic and to go out into the community and go to women who couldn't come to us. We were in the shopping center, I think it's called Springfield Shopping Center. When the big box moved out of that community, we got even fewer people that were coming through the doors. So we were paying a lot of money to be in that community. So my executive director and I began to pray, and we said, Lord, if you want us to get a clinic, you know we don't have the money to do this. And you show us, Lord, what you want us to do. We flew to the Dominican Republic to help a pregnancy center over there. And as we sat on the tarmac on our way back, we'd researched it to death. And we talked to the board, and the board said, well, when y'all come up with the money, you can get a mobile clinic. So we sat on that tarmac in the Dominican Republic, and we prayed to God right there. And we said, God, you know we can't get this clinic unless you give it to us. You know we can't afford to keep Fort Mill and Lake Wylie offices open. And, Lord, you know that we can see more people if we have this clinic. So, God, we're going to ask you to give us that clinic. We want a clear sign. We got to pay for it in cash if we want this clinic. 5 days later, we got back into Rock Hill, South Carolina, and a man came in, and he said, I want to make a donation to a project. And I said, small project, medium project, or large project? He said, large project. I said, praise the Lord. Well, we've been praying for you. We want a mobile clinic. We know this is where God is leading us. And he asked me how much it cost. I said, $75,000. He looks at his wife and he said, honey, what do you want to do? She said, I want you to write them a check for $75,000. Now, if God wasn't in that mobile clinic, I don't know who was, right? And so for $75,000, it took us a little bit more time to raise the rest of the money we needed. We had to retrofit it. We had to get an ultrasound machine for it. But as of April last year, 2017, our mobile clinic hit the road for the first time. Now, God was so amazing with that we started going into these different areas. We came to, and Walmart has been good to us up here. Y'all need to shop Walmart. But we went to Walmarts because I'm telling you, I told my executive director, people go to two places, rich or poor. You go to Walmart and you go to the grocery store. Well, we all shop different grocery stores, but there is only one Walmart, right? And so we went to every Walmart in every city and we said, can we park our mobile clinic in your parking lot? Now, we didn't have to do that because Walmart has a policy you can park. but we want to be good community neighbors. And so we went in to talk to Walmart, and Walmart let us come in. TKK was our lowest area in the beginning. When we closed out December of 2017, it is our highest appointment area. So believe it or not, we are parked at TKK Walmart twice a month. You'll probably see our big mobile clinic. It's 37 foot, so it's a big one. But we have an ultrasound machine on there. We can do ultrasounds, pregnancy tests, Medicaid. We can help them with resources. Everything is right there on that mobile clinic. Anything we can do in the center, we can do on that mobile clinic. So praise the Lord for Walmart letting us park there. And praise the Lord that God is sending us people from Fort Mill, TKK, in this Lake Wylie area. The next one on here is 320 men clients. If you're a man sitting in this room, I'm going to tell you, I was so excited when I was sitting over there and I saw those two men watching those young people. You know, God is calling men more so than ever to step up and be leaders in their church and in their home. And, you know, we need men in that clinic because, listen, when these young men come through, the times have changed. When I had my baby, my husband sat out in the lobby and they came out and said, "Whoo, it's a girl." Nowadays, the man's back there going, "Whoo, it's a girl," right? So men have changed. So men are coming in. Well, men are coming into the clinic. And, y'all, a lot of these men coming in, they tell us, they say, "I didn't have a daddy." Or, "I don't know how to be a daddy." Or, you know, "I don't have a job." And our men's coaches, we have men's coaches there and we have women's coaches there. And those men's coaches, while we're getting the woman off to herself just to make sure she's not in an abusive situation, we have men who call those young men in. And then they'll just talk to them. How many of y'all have had children? Raise your hand if you're a man. Okay. Now, you know that sometimes your wife just couldn't stand the way you smelt when she was pregnant, okay? Sometimes your coffee breath just drove her beyond crazy. So we need a man to come in there and say, "Look, these things are going to happen, but that doesn't mean your wife hates you. You just got to stick with it," okay? If they don't have a job, these men get on the phone and they start calling people they know to try to help them get a job. You know, if they've got bad teeth or they haven't, you know, they have bad health or they need medicine, we have partnerships that we can connect them to. And so our men's coaches know all this stuff. And sometimes they just say, "Here's a card. These are the days I work at the center. If you just need somebody to talk to, call me." Okay. And then you know what? The great part about it is if they don't know the Lord, you get to lead them to the Lord. You ask them, "Can I lead you? Can I tell you what gives me hope? Can I tell you how I made it through my family when I raised my child? Or better yet, you know what? I wasn't a Christian, but I am now, and I know what I missed. So let me encourage you to be in church and to get involved." We do pregnancy tests, 653 pregnancy tests in our center, 462 ultrasounds. I want to tell you guys, Pastor Matt, I'm gonna bump that number up. He said we have two ultrasounds. Last year in June, God gave us a second ultrasound in our clinic. We took a room that used to be resources, and we turned that room into an ultrasound room. So I can do two ultrasounds at the same time in our center all day long. Then the Lord blessed us, and honestly, guys, it was the Knights of Columbus who did it for us. The Knights of Columbus gave us the second ultrasound machine, and the Knights of Columbus gave another ultrasound machine for our mobile clinic. And so now we can do three ultrasounds at the same time all day long. So amen. And look, this is why it's important, because 85% of the time, if the mama sees the baby, she'll keep the baby because they think it's a blob. But if the daddy goes in and does the ultrasound, 95% of the time, they'll keep their baby. And not only do we show an ultrasound to somebody who's considering abortion, but we show an ultrasound to everybody. Why? Because you know what? When they come in, life might be good. Baby daddy's there. Okay? He's hanging out. Everything's going good. All of a sudden, one loses a job, the other one loses a job, and the next thing you know, that family who came in and said, "Oh, yeah, we're going to have this baby," they're up at the abortion clinic in Charlotte having an abortion. But when they see that heartbeat, and the heart starts beating at 3 weeks, they see that heartbeat, all of a sudden, it's not a blob anymore. It's not a blob anymore. So ultrasounds are so important. Praise the Lord, we've been able to hire additional nurses. When I first started, we had two part-time nurses. We have a nurse on staff all day, every day, on the clinic and in the center. And look, these women come in, y'all, and they work for pennies on the dollar because they're passionate about showing those babies in the womb. So we just praise the Lord for them. Last year, God gave us two certified biblical counselors. They have their license in counseling, and they come in and they see women for free. Would you all agree that we have a crisis in mental health today? I mean, do we have a crisis in homes where people need counseling? And a lot of times you don't want to go to your pastor because, Pastor Matt, they don't want you to know they have problems. They have problems. But they don't want you to know, so they don't go to their pastor, right? Well, they can come to us. So we have counselors. They're free of charge. They're licensed. They're certified. But they give you God as the answer to your problems, so they can help you to heal. So we had 98 people who went through that program last year. Now, this one, some of y'all are going to struggle with. I'm going to tell you, we do Medicaid. We started Medicaid last year, also in January. We are the largest Medicaid assistance center in York County. Now, we only did last year 172 women. We helped them to get on Medicaid. Now, some of you are saying, I don't like to help people put them on government assistance. Everything we do is short term. Our goal is to help our moms and dads become self-sufficient. But you know what? Some of them, if they don't get on Medicaid, that's an excuse to not have the baby because they don't have the money. Well, with Medicaid and welfare and food stamps, that baby can eat, that mama and daddy can eat, but we can also get them in and get them jobs. And we tell them that, look, we're going to help you get on this, but we don't want you to have to live off the government forever. We want you to become self-sufficient. And so we're going to put things in place along the way. We're going to hold your hand and help to develop you and disciple you and grow you. And then better yet, I'm going to talk to you, our biggest step is planting them in the church. We really want them planted in the church. And then last year, we had 494 women who came through our center just to get resources. And those resources are diapers, wipes, formula, baby food. And then if they need maternity clothes, if they need cribs, car seats, those kind of things, we can help them get all of those items for free. And so when a woman comes into us and she says, I'm considering abortion because I can't have my baby, then our question back to them is, if we can help you afford your baby, will you keep it? And they say most of the time, yes, I just don't know how. We get students who come in and they say, I'm in college. I'm the first one that's going to graduate in my family, and now I'm going to have a baby. I can't graduate. We say, if you could go to a school and you could get assistance, and they would be able to allow you to keep your baby for up to 2 years after you graduate, so you can go get your degree, would you want to have your baby? And they say yes. And you know what? There is a place. We can connect them with there's a place up in Belmont College where they'll keep your babies while you go to school. Why? Because they understand that if a woman is going to have a baby, especially as a single mom, she better have a degree so that she can go out and take care of that baby. Or she's just going to live on welfare and food stamps for the rest of her life, and we don't want to do that. So the next slide I want to share with you guys is looking back. How many of y'all have heard of the Crisis Pregnancy Center? Ah, I see a lot of hands. How many have heard of Palmetto Women's Center? How many of you have heard of Palmetto Pregnancy Center? Those are all the same company. We changed our name, and I told Pastor Matt this. The reason why we changed our name is last year was a big year for us. Last year we decided that we're just reactive. And we said, you know what, it's time to stop being reactive and just helping women when they become pregnant, but starting to talk to people about not getting pregnant and planning your pregnancy. And so when we began to do that, we started going into high schools. I don't know if y'all have seen our ad, but we have an ad that runs in the movie theater. It runs in the summertime. Why? Because that's when kids go to the movie. It runs on Halloween. Why? Because that's when kids go to the movie. It runs at Christmas break, spring break. So you're going to see it in there. They gave us this amazing deal, but our commercial runs there. The other thing that we started doing was going into high schools. So we go in for Prom Promise. I go in and speak to the kids. And then we also go in when football season kicks off. They have the big football season over at Rock Hill High School, the big kickoff. I go in there. Well, what we found is when we went in and we had this big, huge banner out front that said Palmetto Pregnancy Center, the kids would head towards our way when they saw stuff on the table and they saw the word pregnancy, and they made like their faces turned white and they took off in the other direction. So we decided if we're going to be proactive and we're going to get into schools, we need to take the word pregnancy out of our name. And so we changed it to Palmetto Women's Center. So we are the same organization. We're doing some of the same stuff. Some of it we don't do in our center. We now service out through our community partners, but we still provide those services to our women. So when you hear those names, they're all interchangeable. We're one and the same. A lot of this other stuff I'm not going to really cover with you. Two things I do want to point out. Healthy Relationships Curriculum, we launched this last year, and I am so proud of this curriculum. We wrote it internally, and it's called Healthy Relationships. We cover things like self-harm, cutting yourself, pulling out your hair, burning yourself. We also cover what is love versus lust. We cover communicating with your parents, having a safe adult that you can talk to. There's so many topics that we cover in this class. So last year we launched it in churches. We trialed it, and it went over so well. every church that we taught it in, someone came up to me and said, I just found out that my child was cutting, or I just found out that my child was in an abusive relationship. And coming through your class allowed us to go back home and talk about it, and it came up. And so now we're able to address it. So we teach it in the churches. It's twofold. We teach it parents and students. We teach it at the same time. You go home with a homework assignment to talk about what you learned in the class. Then you come back next week, and we kind of talk a little bit about it. It's a five-week session. And at the end, what we do, and I don't want to share too much, but at the end, we bring everybody together, the students and the parents, and we have kind of a ceremony. And it's an amazing program. We also, and I covet your prayers, we also have talked to superintendents in the school systems, and they are at this point considering allowing us to go in and use that curriculum in 2019-2020 school year in their health classes. Now, we're not going to be talking about the whole sex from the perspective that they talk about it, but what we're going to be talking to our teens about is purity can happen. Purity can happen, and you can recommit. And so we're going to go in and talk about that by going through talking about each one of those topics to say unhealthy relationships causes risky behavior. And that risky behavior is drinking, smoking, doing drugs, and having sex. And listen, in our school systems, I'll tell you all this because I've gone through the training. In the school systems, if you're drinking, what do they tell you to do? Stop. If you're doing drugs, what do they tell you to do? Stop. But if you're having sex, what do they tell you to do? Be safe. They're all three risky behaviors. We want to tell our youth that they can stop and they should stop. So I want to talk a little bit about the mobile clinic. I kind of told you about it, but this is something we're real excited about. York, Clover, Lake Wylie, Fort Mill, and Chester. We're in Walmarts everywhere except for Clover. And in Clover, we have to go to Food Line because they don't have a Walmart, so we park there. Right now, we started out with one day, and very quickly, we're filling up. And our patients didn't want to wait for us to come back the next year. So our executive director spoke in a church in Rock Hill, told them how much it was going to cost for gas for us to go out the extra day and the needs that we had. Someone came up to her at the end of the service and said, God told me to give you that exact amount of money, which I had written in my check trying to figure out who I was going to give it to. God said to give it to you. So in June of last year, we went out 2 days a week. We are already full those days, and we are praying that the Lord is going to provide the funds we need to go out 2 more days a week. Because we're open 4 days, we want to be out in the community 4 days a week. So we covet y'all's prayers on that. Y'all pray for us. And then the biggest number, I just want to stop here in a way. I mean, 398 women last year came to our center, and they were either on the verge of having an abortion or had come in and said, I come in here today because I'm going to have an abortion. I just wanted to confirm I was pregnant. 398 women, after coming to our center, said, no, I'm going to carry my baby. So I think that the Lord deserves an applause on that one, right? Now, the next one that I wanted to share with you guys is how can y'all help? And Pastor Matt, I hope I'm not going too long. I told him I'm a fast talker, so. But how can you help? Here's the key. We need volunteers. I'm not going to start out and tell you we need money. Y'all know we need money, right? Your church needs money. Well, our nonprofit, we do not take any government funds. We do not take any money from the United Way. And the reason why we do that is because we want to remain a Christian organization. And the minute we start taking funds, like Planned Parenthood gets funds, some of these other, the minute we take that money, we cannot begin to talk about the Lord. Every person who comes through our center, and y'all, we have atheists come through our center. We have Muslims come through our center. We have Catholics. We have Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterian. We have a whole mixture of people that come through. And the first thing that we tell them is, you know, would you allow us to share with you what gives us hope? What encourages us to get us through whatever trial or tribulation we're going through? And we're not perfect. We have those as well. Now, if they tell us no, then we have some little tracts that we put in their bag and we send home with them. And we say, you know what? We're not going to talk to you about it here. We've put some information in your bag. So if you go home and change your mind, you can read it. But if not, you can throw it away. But we just want you to know that this is what we believe. So we don't force it down anyone's throat. But you would be amazed at the number of women. And I've been doing this for 4 years. I have never had anyone tell me no, they didn't want me to share with them. Even if they were atheists, they'll say, yeah, you can pray. Yeah, you can pray. So we are sharing the gospel. Those 2,400 people that came through our door, they heard about Jesus every single time they came through our door. So we need people who can volunteer. because we are a staff of 10. Right now, one of your members comes to our church, and she volunteers almost every day of the week. She comes in, and she just does data entry half a day a week, half a day each day that she comes in. Whatever you do in your real job, you could do at our center. You know, we have people who come in and sort when our donations come in. We have people who make baskets for the new mothers, because when they have the baby, they come back in, and we celebrate life with them. We have people who come in for special events. We just did a big walk up here in town of Fort Mill, a color run. This is our very first one. We're going to do another one next year. That takes 150 volunteers. We had about 20. So we are 10 strong, but I always like to use the analogy of Jesus. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples, and those 12 disciples all went out and changed the world. Would you all give me an amen? You agree on that? But you know what? Those 12 men themselves didn't travel the whole world and save every single person. Who did it? The churches that they formed. So now I'm going to preach, okay? So what I'm saying is, if you come in and you learn about who we are, even if you just come in and go through orientation and you don't do anything else, and you learn about what we do, and you learn about how important life is, and you just become the voice in your own church, the voice in your own family. You know, listen, people don't talk about it. We're not talking about it anymore. We think if we just make it all quiet, it goes away. It's not going to go away. Abortion is declining because people are beginning to talk about it, and people are beginning to get involved. We need volunteers. We need men. We need women. Teenagers can come in. I have hired right now 2 young people on my staff who started volunteering with us when they were 15. They came in and worked all summer. Their whole summer, they came in and worked for free for us when they could have went somewhere else and worked. They came in and didn't know anything about us. One of those little girls, I'm going to tell you what, she broke my heart. She was at school, and this was just a couple of weeks ago, and she wrote me a text, and she said, "There's a girl in my school that's pregnant. I don't even know her, but I want to tell her to come to Palmetto Women's Center." And she wrote all this stuff out that she wanted to tell her. And one of the things she said is, it doesn't matter that you're a teenager. It doesn't matter that you're pregnant and you're not married. They're going to love you anyway. Praise the Lord. This is a teenager telling another teenager, it doesn't matter. You go in there and they're going to love you anyway. You need to go in there and get taken care of. She was so burdened that friend, that wasn't even a friend, but this little girl at school was going to go have an abortion. And so she had this urgency to get her into us. Well, if you guys have that urgency to talk about it, you have this urgency to tell women that they can come to us. And that's a good place, because you know what? When they come to us, what we're going to do is send them to the church. I can tell you, we have a little brochure that says, "Why should I go to church?" And every single person comes through the door. Now, it's really funny, because every person who comes through the door, I won't say every, a large portion of the people who come through the door, the first thing they do is check that they're a Christian. And then when we get them all downstairs, we know just because you check you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian, right? And so one of the other questions we ask on our form is, when were you baptized? Well, that's usually a good sign. If you can remember when you were baptized, that's another step in the right direction that you might be a Christian. But a lot of times when we get those women down there, they say, "I don't go to church anywhere." And I'm going to tell you, whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, the one thing that she said I believe in, she said it takes a village to raise a baby. Well, you know what? I think that village is the church. And that's what we tell them. Because I said, you know what? When you have a baby, your marriage just got tougher, not easier, right? And when you have a baby, your life just got tougher as a mom. And so where can you go? The Bible says in Titus that the older are to teach the younger, so they need to be in church. And so we tell them there's over 400 churches in York County. Find one. And if you don't like that one, go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Out of 400, surely to goodness, you can find a good one. And we invite them to come to ours, and we invite them to churches that we know will take them. So I encourage you guys to continue to pray about getting involved. And then there's a host of other things. I talked to Pastor Matt. I've got some handouts out there that you got other ways you guys can get involved, from your small groups to the church itself hosting some Bible studies. We have young single mothers, and some churches will tell us, and y'all might be one, and I apologize if you are, but we have some churches who say, "We're not going to celebrate their infidelity by throwing them a baby shower." But you know what? These women need to be loved and shown that even if they got pregnant out of wedlock, that God still loves them, and God's people still love them. And people in my church come all the time who aren't married, that before they leave my church, God has convicted them. Not me, not my husband, but God has convicted them that marriage is important to Him. And once they get saved and they get all entrenched into the church, they want to do what's right, what God wants them to do. And so you may have some young single mamas that come here that start off as single mamas, but they may end up getting married before it's over with because y'all loved them as the church. Another way that you guys can help, and I'm just going to hit on one more on this next slide, is a prayer partner. You know, I want you guys to know that there are tons of things that you can do physically, financially, but ultimately what we need is prayer partners. We need people who say, you know what, Joanne, I can't come over there. I don't have the physical aptitude to climb the stairs, or, you know, maybe I'm scared. I don't want to share myself. You know, I can't lead somebody to the Lord, and that's okay. God gives us all different gifts, right? I'm sure your church teaches you that. Well, don't sit back and let your gift, your skill, your talent, or your finances go to waste. There are hundreds of nonprofit organizations available right here in York County, but if the babies aren't born, none of those organizations matter. Babies are dying every day, y'all. Every day. Y'all saw those numbers. We went to the Holocaust, and it's not the first time I've been through it, but when I walk across that bridge, anybody that's ever been over it, and you see the shoes all laid out, I weep every time I walk across that bridge. Because in my mind's eye, and I'm a very visual person, in my mind's eye, those aren't shoes. Those are babies. We have a Holocaust of babies in America. And as churches, we're turning a blind eye. Because we're saying women need medical treatment. That's why Planned Parenthood has to be open. Y'all, you can get free medical treatment outside of Planned Parenthood. If you don't know where, you come see me. I can tell you where to get you medicine free. I can tell you where to see a doctor free. I can tell you where to get just about anything you need for free. So Planned Parenthood doesn't have to provide that service. That is another lie that is being taught to us as Christians, that center has to stay open. Listen, as Christians, I'm going to challenge y'all. We like to say we don't want to get in other people's business. Jesus was in other people's business. It's either sin or it's not. And when you look at the polls and you see Christians, I just want to cry. When you see Christians that say they don't want to make a stand because they don't want to offend anybody, the Word of God is offensive when you're a sinner. The Word of God is offensive when you're a sinner. But there's grace and hope and love that comes on the other side of that. And I don't know about y'all, but once you confess your sin, and y'all are Baptists, I'm Baptist. I'm more little liberal Baptist now. Liberal and I like to shout and run a little bit. But I'm going to tell you what. When you know the feeling that you have been forgiven and set free, if it don't make you want to shout, then, you know, you need to do it in the woods if you don't feel comfortable doing it in church, but you've got to shout. And look, when we tell these women that there is forgiveness, women are bound, y'all. They are bound. I have been in churches and talked about it, and I've had seniors come up to me that was 70 and 80 years old and said, I've never told a soul in my whole life that I had an abortion, and I have kept this private and quiet in my life all these years. They were bound. They were bound. I'm not saying we need to stand up and have people lined up and shouting, woo, had an abortion, woo. But we need to say, you know what, I did it because there was no hope. There was no pregnancy center when I had mine. And you know what, if you're pregnant, you come see me. I'll help you raise that baby if I need to. Let's be a family that comes together. Let's come together. So I don't care what y'all do. I just pray that you will pray for us if you can't do anything else. Please pray for us. The devil tries to hit us every day. We start our center in prayer as a group, and we pray through the full armor of God, and we put it on every single morning. And there's days where we got a little prayer closet that we set up, and when our nurses are just so distraught because they have prayed and talked to and wept and cried with somebody, and we know they're walking out that door and heading to the abortion clinic, they just have to go in a room and cry because they know that they've shared the word, but God says his word will not go out and return void. And we tell those women as they walk out the door, you know, God gives us all free will. We pray and wish that you would not have an abortion today, but we want you to know that if you go up to Charlotte or you go to Columbia and you have that abortion, at the end of the day, we'll love you and we'll pray with you and we'll hold your hand as you heal from that decision that you made. And the women come back to us. And that's what the church has got to be. That's what the church has got to be. So we covet your prayers. I'm going to be out there. If you guys want, we've got some brochures. If you're a small group and you want to figure out what you can do, we've got some brochures and some things that you can pick up. If you want to help spread the word about who we are, we've got these client brochures. Take them to your workplace. If they'll let you put them in the break room, put them in the break room. Look, we are calling for activists this year. We're calling for people to step up and say enough is enough, not in my county. I'm not going to see those numbers in my county next year. I want to be a part of changing it. And so we want you guys to get involved. And then we do have this little envelope. I'll show you this. I'll have it out there as well. Some churches, they do these little programs. Y'all are probably familiar with baby bottles. If you've ever come and picked up two big grocery bags of baby bottles, we have made it much easier now. So we have these little envelopes, but you can do a change campaign. You can do it for a month. Everybody can take one home, make your own donation, bring it back in. But, you know, we encourage y'all in any way that y'all can get involved. And you know what? If you just want to come by, y'all gonna think I'm crazy. This past Christmas, somebody showed up and they just had cookies for our center. Those women, not just the nurses, but our women work so hard for so little pay because of what they do. And for somebody to just come by our office and drop off a note and say, we appreciate you, and drop some cookies off, you'd have thought those women had won, you know, a $500,000 lottery. They were so excited that somebody. So even if you just stop by to say, give me a tour, I just want to thank you for what you do. You motivate and challenge and inspire us to keep doing what we're doing. Because the Bible says, don't quit running the race, right? And we need to be encouraged sometimes. So just pray for us. Come by and encourage us. And if you can serve or you can help financially, we would be honored as well. Thank y'all so much for letting me come. I hope I didn't take too much of your time. Pastor Matt, thank you.
Again, Miss Joanne, thank you so much. Our hearts are just wide open to you. Again, thank you. We are so glad that you came and spoke to us today. Let me share with you briefly, church, some options as we move into a time of decision making, a time where the Holy Spirit is moving. Option number one, if you are here and you know that you are lost, meaning that you are running away from God, meaning that you know that you're not saved, meaning that you know that you have not placed your full trust in Jesus Christ, that is open for you today. I'm going to invite you forward in just a second and ask if you would like to do that. We also have counselors in room four, like usual, at the close of the worship service, where they will share with you of how to place your full trust in Jesus Christ. Option number two, if you're just in need of some prayer, some counseling, your heart's broken this morning, we want to come and receive you. Elders, deacons, I want to invite you forward at the end of the worship service in just a few moments after I get through reading some scripture. Please come forward and receive folks this morning that may need some counseling. Let me share with you some scripture from John chapter 3, verse 3. This is what Jesus says. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, this is an enormous statement of Jesus. This is one of those statements where we know that the source of the Bible is divine. A human being, if describing salvation without the Lord's help, would not describe salvation in this way. Let me read it to you again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you want to see the kingdom of God this morning, the Lord Jesus says that you have to be born again. You have to be born from above. You have to be born from God. You have to be born, the Lord says, through water and through the Spirit. Now, of course, as Nicodemus hints at here in these next few verses, that is impossible. Can a man, when he's old, enter his mother's womb a second time? The answer is no. This is impossible when it comes to human beings. Salvation is a divine thing that happens where God comes and changes us from the inside out. And any person that is on their way to heaven has experienced what Scripture calls the new birth. Look what Jesus says in chapter 2, verse 25. Verse 24, "But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." Now 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Jesus knows what is in man. And what is in man is sin. What is in man is that we are born rebels from God, running in the other direction. Paul says in Romans 3 that we have, like sheep, all turned astray and are running away from God. This is what we are born into. We are born with a sin nature, running and rebelling against God. This is why the new birth must take place to be born again. If you want to be saved, if you want to see the kingdom of God one day, Jesus says, you must be born again. And that is impossible for you to do. It's impossible for you to do. That is a work that God must do in you. So, obvious question. How does the new birth happen in me? How can I be born again? If I can't do it, if the new birth is from above, then how does this happen? The answer is faith. The answer is trust in God. Now, the biblical understanding of faith is somebody that completely casts their hope fully on God to save them. It's more than just believing that it's possible. Faith and belief and trust in Scripture is somebody that says, I know that only God can save me, that I can't save me, and I am completely casting myself on the Lord to cause me to be born again. If it is only of the Lord, then I must throw myself completely at the Lord's mercy and at the Lord's grace to do that. That is the biblical understanding of faith. And so if you want to receive the Lord Jesus by faith this morning, what's going to happen to you is like Adam, when God made him from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him. That is what's going to happen. Ezekiel looks over the valley of dry bones, and the Lord asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And his answer is, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. And he says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry bones, and they will come alive. That is exactly what's going to happen if you cast yourself fully on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Jesus says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's the question I want to end with. Do you believe this? Andrew, band, whoever, y'all can come forward. And elders and deacons, I want to invite you, please come forward. This is your time. If you have felt the Holy Spirit pressing on your heart that you need to be saved, the book of Hebrews says, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. I'll be up here to receive you. Elders and deacons will be here to receive you. Also, this is a place of prayer up front. You can pray at your seats. You can pray on your knees. You can pray up here on your knees. If you need some prayer and some counseling, we want to receive you to come forward this morning as Miss Joanne spoke and left our hearts just wide open for these things and for the Holy Spirit to move. So do whatever you feel led to do this morning that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do.